Turn to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 4. Should be a presentation up there, Brother Morty. Hebrews chapter 4. Well, has anyone ever felt stressed? Anyone ever experienced stress? Anyone? Lift your hand if you've experienced stress. Some probably to a more extent than others. But we've all experienced stress. And if you think life or if you think work is getting more stressful, you're not imagining it. You're not imagining it. It's true. Things are getting more stressful. And just by the show of hands here today, a lot of us have experienced stress. Now, stress is not uncommon. It's totally natural to experience stress. There's certain degrees of stress that aren't good for you. But just the mere fact that you get out of bed and go to work because you're stressed that if you don't, you won't eat, that's a God-given sort of stress. All right, we were created to have a certain level of stress because that's kind of what pushes us. That's kind of what motivates us. It's that adrenaline we get, and we need part of it. Otherwise, we just don't get anything done. But stress, and so if you're feeling like work is getting more stressful, how many people think that work is getting more stressful? Yeah. You're not imagining it, all right? You're not. It's not a figment of your imagination. Since 1964, the average working week for white-collar workers has gone up by 10 hours since 1964. We're working harder, we're working longer, with more job insecurity than ever before, and the cost is increasingly clear. There are a lot of things that we are experiencing in our society which are symptoms of stress. Decades of research across hundreds of thousands of workers point us to the fact that we are experiencing a full-scale stress epidemic. Anyone agree with what I'm saying? You think I'm right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Now, I cannot help but think that we may be overstating it, but some are saying, and it was recently said, that stress is the 21st century equivalent of the Black Death. A number of people have come out and said that stress is it may seem insignificant, but it is slowly killing people. One man, as controversial as it may be, and maybe he was overstating it, but he said that he believes that stress is the 21st century equivalent of the Black Death. Recent workplace reports, and I saw them myself at the Department of Health, say stress has now become the most common reason for long-term workplace absenteeism. The most common reason. You see, the pressure that once motivated is now overcoming us or overwhelming us. The same pressure that once motivated us and enthused us is now overwhelming us. Stress. Everybody say stress. Turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 9. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 9 says, "There remains therefore a rest for the people of God." Can we read that together as a congregation? Only a few words, but I'm sure we can read it. If you don't have the King James, you can read it from the screen up there. Let's read it all together. "There remains therefore a rest for the people of God." Let's read that again. "There remains therefore a rest for the people of God." I really believe that I have a word today for you that are here and for those that will listen to this via way of the web, via our podcast. But we are going to pray at the conclusion of this service. We're going to pray for people who are stressed. We're going to pray for people who are anxious. We're going to pray for people who are upset, downtrodden, overcome by the cares of this world. Because I believe, just as the Word of God says, there remains therefore a rest for the people of God. And we can find rest in God today. I'm not saying that your work's going to go away and they're going to ring you up and say, listen, don't bother turning up, but we're going to pay you for the rest of your career. You just stay in bed. That's not going to happen. But I believe in the midst of our busy schedules, in the midst of a hectic lifestyle, we can find rest in God. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
Amen. No matter what this world brings against you, whether it is work, whether it is family, well, there remains a rest for the people of God. And I want to preach today, and then we're going to step out of the way and let God do His work in this place. We're going to pray. You're going to pray for each other. I believe there is a rest for the people of God. And I want to preach this title, Rest for the Stressed. Can we say that together? Rest for the Stressed. And all you thinking, man, he's really in the Holy Ghost today. How did he know I was stressed? I didn't have to know much to know you were stressed. We've all got a bit of stress. But there is rest for the stressed. You know, I said before that people are saying that stress is the 21st equivalent of the Black Death. And is stress really the Black Death of our day? Surely people have overstated it. The scope of the Black Death is massive. How could they equate stress into the Black Death? Because what the Black Death did in its time was unimaginable. Only over the continent of Europe was affected in the between 2 and 5 years on the continent of Europe affected by the Black Death in the 1400s. History says that between 30-60% of Europe's population was killed by this disease. It took 150 years for the population destroyed by the Black Death to recover. 150 years. History, the European history, was modified by the Black Death. You can look back and you can see that things changed in Europe when the Black Death was there. The course of the European history was modified by the occurrence of the Black Death. One man, Samuel Pepys, said it like this as he wrote in his diary, and he wrote a journal of the plague year 1665. He wrote this prayer. He said, Lord, how empty the streets are and melancholy. So many poor people in the streets full of sores, and so many sad stories overheard as I walk. Everybody talking of this dead and that man sick, and so many in this place and so many in that. That was written by Samuel Pepys as a prayer in his journal that was written in the 1900s, but taken from his journal from 1665. He said, Lord, the streets are empty. People are melancholy. The poor, sick people in the streets are full of sores. They're talking about this person has fallen and that one's fallen. As I walk the streets, I hear sad stories. I overhear them. So many people in this place and so many people in that place. It was said of the Black Death. Doesn't sound much different to what we are hearing on the streets, even in my workplace. Before I became full-time in the ministry. And, you know, in the ministry, you meet people that are stressed as well. But so many people, Lord, so many poor, sick people, mental illness is now at an alarming rate. Mental illness is a sleeping giant, they call it. The sleeping giant. And internationally renowned advocate, Professor Patrick McGorry, who got an Australian of the Year award, he was in the Latrobe Valley and he was urging us to help stem the rising tide of mental health issues, mental illness. He said, the paradox these days is that the physical health of young people has never been better, but their mental health has never been worse. Professor McGorry said he attributed the epidemic to a range of factors, but said it was indicative of a society which has lost its way. Now, he's not a Christian. I think he's an atheist, Professor McGorry. He says that what we are seeing, this mental illness, the young people are healthier physically than they've ever been, but their mental health is worse than it's ever been. He said he attributed the epidemic to the fact that society has lost its way. Lifeline research shows that up to 78% of people experience high stress at work, and 2/3 of Australians have lost sleep in the last year due to work-related stress. Now, you don't have to be ashamed, but how many people here have lost sleep due to some stress they have experienced at work? That's about maybe 2/3, maybe half, or maybe we're just good sleepers. Time magazine noted back in the 1960s, listen to this, expert testimony was given to a Senate subcommittee on time management. Everyone say time management. In the 60s, how many people were alive in the 60s? Come on, you can't, you don't have to be ashamed. If you're alive in the 60s, you can be proud of it. This is what they said in your lifetime, all right? You go back and slap them, all right? Because this is wrong. They said, they predicted that advances in technology would radically change how many hours a week people worked. This is what they said, this Senate subcommittee in the US. They forecasted that the average American let's worship the Lord. They're having fun back there, so please listen carefully. They forecasted that the average American would be working 22 hours a week within 20 years. In the 60s, they said, in the 80s, all we will be working is 22 hours a week. Now, how many people are working 22 hours a week and they're finding, you know, maybe some of you are. But they're saying that the average person will be working 22 hours a week. The great challenge, the experts said, this is the great challenge, they said, the great challenge will be figuring out what to do with all of our extra time. This is serious. This happened in your lifetime. I wasn't born back then, so you can't help hold me accountable. That's right. You go back and you slap them, David. They said that our greatest challenge will be trying to figure out what to do with our excess time. How many people have that problem? You've got so much time that you're getting stressed because you don't know how to spend the time. Anybody getting stressed over all the excess hours they've got? Just killing time, I guess? Well, that's not the case, is it? Over 40 years later, after major advances in technology, how many of us are wondering what to do with all the excess time on our hands? No one. They were wrong. Our world has become the world of the Red Queen in Alice in Wonderland. She said, "Now here, you see, it takes all the running you can do just to keep in the same place. If you want to get somewhere else, you must run at least twice as fast as that." She said, "Now here, if you just want to stay in the same place, it's going to take all the running you can do just to stay in the same place. But if you want to get anywhere, you're going to have to run twice as fast as that." And that's how most of us live our week. Just trying to get somewhere where we've got to run twice as fast as we possibly can. We are living in a stress epidemic. Life is speeding up. How wrong they were about all those excess hours. Apparently, we're all experiencing the rat race. Everyone say the rat race. Just when you thought you were getting ahead, along comes a faster rat. The rats are getting faster. But remember, he who wins the rat race is still a rat. So we're seeing things change. It's not uncommon to see this, but for the Bible said that we would see these things in the last days. Professor McGorry, not even a Christian, said, what we are seeing is a result of a society that has lost its way. The morality of the world is plummeting. The moral temperature of the world is plummeting at an alarming rate. Just like the Bible says, we are going to see moral decay. Luke chapter 21 says, people's hearts failing them for fear. Can you put that scripture up, Brother Morty? It says, and there will be signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars, and on the earth, distress of nations. With perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. Think to yourself what that might be. Verse 26 says, men's hearts failing them for fear. I believe in Bible times, this is the words they use to describe stress. Stress is fear. It's a feeling you get in your heart, men's hearts failing them from fear, and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in the cloud with great power and great glory. Now, when these things begin to happen, what are Christians meant to do? Look up. Don't look down. Look up. When you see all of this and you see all of these things happening and you think, wow, Jesus is coming back, you don't get down in the mouth and looking down. The Bible says, then when all these things happen, look up and lift up your heads because your redemption draws near. Jesus is coming back soon, brothers and sisters. I come to tell you that Jesus is coming back soon. We are living in a climate just like described in the Bible here. We have seen all of these things happening in our society. And I come to just tell you today, Jesus is coming back, and the stress that we see is just part of this. It's not going to decline. No one's going to be able to get rid of it. No one is going to find the magic potion or the magic pill to relieve stress, but this is just another sign of the times. But there is a rest for the people of God. Everybody say amen. Amen. There is a rest for the stressed. Turn to the person next to you and say, there is rest for the stressed. 7 billion people on the planet. Signs of the times. Uncertainty is in the air. We are living in a stress-filled moment. We are living in a stress-filled moment. If you could all turn to the book of Winnie the Pooh. Winnie the Pooh's not in the Bible, but he's going to serve as a great illustration today. Can you remember the day that Tigger lost his bounce? How many people know that, remember when Tigger lost his bounce? Nobody liked him bouncing around there, did they? He annoyed everybody. Anyone got someone in your life that's constantly just bouncing and they just annoy you? Poor old Eeyore, he got knocked off a cliff and into the water because Tigger bounced. Nobody liked the bouncing Tigger. He just annoyed everybody. Anyone got someone around there, maybe in your family, just constantly just bouncing and just annoy you when you're in a bad mood, you know? You know, Mark, when you're at the breakfast table and you're eating, you're in a bit of a bad mood, and Michelle comes bouncing out. Like, oh, be quiet, Michelle. Anyone got someone like that? A bouncing Tigger? The beloved Winnie the Pooh character, Tigger, everyone knows him for his ability to revel joyfully in life. Specifically for his ability to bounce as both a way to experience joy. He'd just bounce around and just experience joy, but also he would share the joy with others. That was Tigger. One day, Pooh observes that Tigger isn't his usual bouncy. What's happened, Tigger? You're not your bouncy self anymore. Specifically, now Tigger is moody. His tail is drooping and he's very still. Is there a slide up there, Brother Morty? His tail is droopy and he's very still. He's not bouncing. And when Pooh presses him about feeling down, Tigger says, Pooh, I think I've lost my bounce. I think I've lost my bounce. You know, nobody wanted to be around Tigger when he started bouncing. As I said, he did uncontrollable things when Tigger started bouncing. He even, as I said before, he knocked Eeyore off the cliff and into the river. And because of this uncontrollable bounce. And one day, he was so chastised about his bounce that he stopped bouncing. The day that Tigger lost his bounce. And finally, everyone decided that on that 100-acre wood, they decided they want a Tigger to get his bounce back. A Tigger without a bounce was not worth having in the 100-acre woods. What's a Tigger without a bounce? What's a Tigger without a bounce? And I say to you, what's a child of God without a bounce? I tell you, there's a rest for the people of God. There's a rest for the children of God. What's a child of God without some worship? What's a child of God without some joy? I've come to tell you in these days that you can experience the rest of God. I'm going to tell you where you can find that rest. Just like we don't want a Tigger without a bounce, I don't believe there should be a Christian without a bounce. We're going to go through some hard times, but we can come out bouncing, Brother Rob. We can come out with the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is my strength. You know, you can have joy and not have happiness. Did you know that? Joy and happiness are two different things. Happiness is based on happenings. Sounds like the same word. So, Brother Matthew, when all the happenings are good, you can have happiness. But when the happiness are bad, happenings are bad, then you lose your happiness. So, Brother Rob, that means you can be happy at work sometimes, and you can be unhappy at work sometimes, because the happenings at work aren't always the same. So happiness is determined by the happenings. But joy, the Bible says, there is joy in the Holy Ghost. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. That is why, over the years, I've been coming to church long enough, I see people walk into this church. And I tell you, the happenings are not good. Not everything is going well in their life. Not everything is going well on their job. I've seen people walk in here Sunday after they got sacked on Friday. They got laid off, made redundant. Walk here in here on Sunday and worship God with their whole heart. They're not happy they lost their job, but they've still got the joy of the Lord. That's why that little old lady can walk in a church crumpled over her stick in pain, feeling it from the toe to the head. She can walk into church and she may not be happy. Maybe she didn't sleep much at night, but you'll see her, oh, hallelujah, and she'll get to jigging on that thing. I don't know what she's going to do, but she's got the joy of the Lord. She may not be happy, but she's still got joy. What is a Christian without the bounce? You know, when your circumstances begin to control you, when what's going on out in the world keeps you from lifting your hands and worshiping the Lord, when what's going on in your world keeps you from being everything God wants you to be, I would say that you are walking through a deep, dark woods, and you need to say to yourself, and maybe you need to say it today, what is going on in my world? I need to get my bounce back. Rubber bands. You don't see them much anymore. We used to pick them up on the way home from school. Piles and piles of those red things. Stress. You see, you can stretch a rubber band. All right? And what happens? It bounces back. It will bounce back continually. You just stretch it, it'll bounce back. But if you do it too much, what happens? It breaks. And here's what's happened with a lot of people. In marriages, in our health, our emotional health, our spiritual health, we get so strung out that when it comes time to worship God, we walk in here, and it's time to worship God, and we say, with what? I ain't got anything left. I'm stretched. I'm going to break. Go home and you know, get it right with your spouse, or go home and get it right with your children, or come to church and worship God, and you say, oh, with what? With what? When it comes time to lift the shield of faith, you say, ah, Pastor, I don't even have the strength to lift my shield of faith. Come on, just have faith in your situation. You say, with what? With what? You see, we've become so stressed. What am I going to fight with? I don't have the strength. You see, I'm so wrung out. I'm so stretched. I'm so stressed. I'm here to tell you today, there is rest for the stressed. There is a rest for the people of God. I believe that we are walking into an era, into a generation. It's not what you know. It's not your heritage. It's not who you know. But do you have the ability? This is where we're going. We're walking into an era, into a generation. It's going to be stress-filled. It's not what you know. It's not who your mom and dad or your grandparents were. It's not who you know. But it's your ability to say, when the enemy knocks me down, when the enemy comes in like the flood, do I have the ability to get up again? This is where we're right at. Like Micah 7 verse 8 says, Brother Morty, it says, rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. Let's read it together. When I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. We live in a crazy time. I could go on for a great length today talking about what the social scientists are saying about us living in a 24/7 connected society. Through those smartphones that all of you got, most of you got, through those smartphones, you're connected 24/7. When your desktop is on your laptop and your laptop is in your bag, you got Facebook, you've got Twitter, you got emails, you got instant messaging. Let me tell you, God didn't make you to be worried about what's going on all the time. You know, in the middle of the night, your phone can be beeping away, people sending messages trying to talk to you in the middle of the night. In the old days, you just slept. Anybody ring you in the middle of the night, the first thing you'd ask is, who's dead? Because the only time the phone rang was when someone died. But now someone's going to send you a Facebook message, and they're going to tell you that they're having a cup of coffee at Starbucks and put a photo on it. Oh, thanks. That was worth waking up for. Enjoy your coffee. But God didn't make us to be worried about what goes on in our world all of the time. Let me just give you a good principle. You can take it or leave it, but really, we should disconnect from the world at 9 o'clock at night and put that thing away. You've got to get your brain ready to sleep. Scientists, doctors will tell you, just turn it off. Start unwinding. Start getting ready to sleep, and you might have some good sleep. You weren't meant to work all the time. Now, here it is. God doesn't sleep and he doesn't slumber. He's got the whole world in the palm of his hand, Brother Leon. Heaven is his throne and earth is his footstool. If you don't have it under your feet, I'm here to tell you today, he's got it under his feet. God's got it all under control. You may as well put it on God's shoulders, and you may as well do what the Bible says and cast all your cares on him, because he cares for you. Put your worry onto Jesus. That was an invitation. Jesus says, casting all your care on me because I care for you. So at 9 o'clock, if you've got fear of not knowing what's going on, just turn off that phone and say, Jesus, I just leave it to you to 7 o'clock. He's able. I mean, he's sitting up there with his feet on the earth, and the earth is his footstool. He's got everything in the palm of his hand. He's got the whole world in his hands. And you think you've got to leave your mobile phone on just in case you need to save the planet. You weren't meant to be working all the time. You weren't meant to be worried about what's going on the whole time. Put your worry onto Jesus. 1 Peter 5 verse 7 says, casting all your care upon him because he careth for you. Let's talk about the nation of Israel. We, after all, we started off in Hebrews. And the story of Hebrews is a warning to the church, the New Testament church. God is saying, if the Old Testament followers of the Lord did not take advantage of everything at their disposal, and if God judged them, he will judge us today. So they are on their way to the promised land. They are on their way to a place of rest. And today, as the New Testament church, living in the year 2013, and it's quickly getting away from us, we are standing on the brink of the greatest promises this world has ever seen. We are standing on the brink of an end time revival. But through unbelief, through stress, through lack of faith, through fear, through worry, if we draw back from what God has for us, if we shrink back from what God has laid before us, the same God that judged the Hebrews of old will judge us. We are standing on the brink of an end time revival, and just like the children of Israel, as they were going into the promised land, they drew back through doubt, through unbelief. And we cannot draw back through doubt, through unbelief, through stress, from any of that sort of stuff, because the same God that judged the Hebrews of old will judge us. So let not one part of us, let not one part of the land of milk and honey, let not one hill or valley, let not one pomegranate of the promised land not be unexplored. You see, God has a place of rest. God has a promised land for us, and we've got to walk into the promises of God. Don't be full of doubt. Don't be full of stress. Don't draw back from what God has for you, but walk into the land of promise, because there is a place of rest for the children of God. And maybe some of you today just looking at me thinking, you know, he's innocent. He really doesn't know. He's a pastor. You know, he lives in this little pretend world where he's trying to tell us that everything's going to be all right if we just trust in God. Come on, he just ought to wake up one day. That preacher's going to grow up. He's going to get some brains and he'll understand what the real world is like. Let me tell you, I know it's hard, but I also know what the Word of God says. That there is a rest for the people of God. In Numbers chapter 14, when Israel left Egypt, they were heading for the promised land. Men alone, above, and they were over the age of 20, they were that was the age of the warriors. There were 600,000 of them. Of those 600,000, there were probably a lot more, but this is just the 600,000 warriors over the age of 20. Only out of 600,000, how many people made it into the promised land? Two. Only two. 599,998 people didn't. Two people did. There is a danger in not entering into the rest. And we've got to have the spirit of Joshua and Caleb. The Bible called it another spirit. The remainder of the children of Israel were left and they remained in the wilderness. When they should have been in the promised land, they are stressed and they are in the heat and they're in the wilderness when they were meant to be in the promised land. And here it is. The writer of Hebrews quotes, if you look at Hebrews 3, the writer of Hebrews actually quotes Psalm chapter 95. Quickly, let's look at Psalm chapter 95. The writer of Hebrews goes back and he quotes this psalm. He says, "For he is our God and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart, and in the provocation and in the day of temptation or the trial in the wilderness. When your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my work." Everyone say, "Saw my work." They saw the hand of God. They saw the miraculous. 40 years long was I grieved with this generation and said, "It is a people that do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways, unto whom I swear in my wrath that they shall not enter into my rest." They had seen the miraculous. They had seen the work of God. but they did not enter into the rest. They did not enter into the promised land. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 12, after he quotes the psalmist, he says this. He says, the writer of Hebrews says, "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart." Everyone say an evil heart. An evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. An evil heart is an unbelieving heart. I've seen it all. What he did yesterday, I saw it, but I don't believe he can do it today. Is that your attitude? That's what the children of Israel said. They said, you know, he can deliver us out of Egypt, but we're not quite sure if he could take us into the promised land. Maybe that's you today. You say, you know, God's done great things in my life in the past. He delivered me from this. He delivered me from that. He healed me from this. But I'm not quite sure if he can help me with this stress problem. I'm not quite sure if he can take me into the promised land. That is an evil heart. That is a heart that says, I've seen miracles in the past, but I don't believe he can do it today. Now, I'm not a counselor. I'm not a psychologist. I'm not a psychiatrist. I respect their work and they're very important. But from a spiritual sense, much stress comes from doubt. The children of Israel remained in the wilderness for 40 years because of doubt. Doubt will turn an 11-day journey into a 40-year time period of pain and suffering. 600,000 people, only two went in. They walked across the Red Sea for what should have been and what could have been an 11-day journey. Let me tell you, doubt will turn an 11-day journey into a 40 years of pain and suffering. Much doubt comes from a refusal, and much stress comes from a refusal to enter into the promises of God. Some stress can be avoided when we say, God, I believe you have a promise in front of me. God, I believe you have a promise in front of me, and I'm moving straight into that promise. Here's something for you today. Don't put a I thought in front of God's thoughts. But I thought. Don't put an I thought in front of God's thoughts. Don't doubt. We need to get our faith back. Can everyone say that? We need to get our faith back. So doubt. Everyone say doubt. Doubt is what took Adam and Eve out of paradise. Paradise. The devil came to them and says, hath God said? Trying to sow doubt in them. That was what Lucifer approached them with in the garden. He sowed doubt into their mind and it gave birth to unbelief. And then it led to transgression. And then it led to disobedience. But it all started with doubt. I want to tell you today, something as small as doubt can destroy the promised rest that God has for you. Something as small as doubt can destroy the rest that God has for you. Doubt is so tiny, but it's so deadly. One little thought of doubt can cause you to turn away from a great promise of God. The children of Israel said, God, you've got the power to take us out, but I don't know if you got the power to take us in. So they spent 40 years of pain and suffering in the wilderness. The children of Israel said, you got the power to deliver, but we're not sure you got the power to provide. Doubt caused them. It made an 11-day journey into 40 years of pain and suffering. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 9 says, there is a rest for the stressed. There is a rest for the stressed. There is a rest for the people of God. Amen. Everybody say amen if I'm preaching good. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, as we wind this up. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus says, come unto me. Here's the invitation. If you're laboring, if you're heavy laden, he says, come unto me. I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. That word yoke means my learning. Take my scriptures. Take my word upon you and learn from me. For my yoke is easy. My word is easy. My principles are easy. And my burden light. Next slide there. Exodus chapter 33 verse 14 says, and he said, my presence shall go with thee and I will give thee rest. I want to show you a little connection here, right here. This is very important. Right back in the book of Exodus, we see a connection between the presence of God and the rest of God. He said, my presence will go with thee and I will give the rest. Another scripture below that on the screen says, it tells us the same principle, that there is rest in the presence of God. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. And at your right hand, pleasures forevermore. The rest you are looking for is in the presence of God. I'm going to say that till everybody gets it. The rest you are looking for is in the presence of God. The rest you are looking for is in the presence of God. That's why I don't understand somebody who would just come to Sunday and they've spent Saturday night staying up watching movies and doing everything else, and they get to Sunday morning and they say, you know, I just need to rest. Stay home, stay in bed. Do whatever they want, just not come to church, and then wonder why they're so stressed. The Bible says that there's rest in his presence, that we there's fullness of joy in his presence, there's at his right hand pleasures forevermore. Everything you need is in Jesus. Everything you need is in the presence of God. The best place to be when you're stressed is in God's house. Go home after you finish church and have that lay down. But in the morning, get up and get to the church. Get to the house of God, because there's rest in his presence. Now, for all you who've been around church a while, I'm going there. All right, I'm going there. Brother Rob, I'm going to go there. Don't worry. I'm a Pentecostal preacher. I'm going there. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 28. 120 in the upper room. And the Holy Spirit filled the room. And as the presence of God filled their lives, they spoke with other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. This was the promised rest from the promised presence. This was the promised rest. The infilling of the Holy Ghost was the promised rest. And the promised rest came from the presence of God. Isaiah prophesied when he said this. He said, for with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to his people, to whom he said, this is the rest. This speaking in tongues, this Holy Ghost, is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing. Yet they would not hear. Right there in the upper room, when the Holy Ghost fell on those 120 people, the presence of God came in into that room, and the presence of God came into their lives. The God filled their lives, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost. And the Bible said that this is the Comforter. The Holy Ghost is the Comforter. The Holy Ghost is the promised presence of the Almighty God living inside of us. If you want to experience true rest, this is the promise. When you are filled with the Holy Ghost, you're going to have complete rest in God. The Holy Spirit is the promised rest that God wants to give everybody. He said in Acts chapter 2, verse 39, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off. Maybe today you're here and you need a fresh touch of God. Maybe today you're here and you're stressed and you need to just get into the presence of God. Maybe you just got to get the presence of God back inside of your life and get refilled with the Spirit. Or if you've never been filled with the Spirit, maybe you got to be filled. You got to be filled with the Spirit today. Turn in faith to God. Maybe today you need to begin your journey as you are baptized for the remission of your sins and receive the promise of God, the infilling of the Holy Spirit. There is rest for the stressed. The Bible says the Spirit works, we rest. Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit. Ever felt like you're just fighting everything with your own might and your own power? Zechariah says, not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. The Spirit works. We rest. Let the Spirit of God help you. Let the Spirit of God guide you. Let the Spirit of God come back into your life and let it be overwhelm you. Let you come back into His presence and you will experience the presence of God. Psalm 16, verse 11. Thou wouldst show me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Next slide, Jude chapter 1 and verse 20. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. You know, one of the best things that you can do, you can't just rely on an hour and a half, hour and 45 minutes at church on a Sunday and expect to go and live and bounce your way through the week. Maybe we'll have a great service and maybe you will just get a little bit of a bounce from a Sunday. But it goes like this. Boing on Monday. Boing, boing, boing. It's like, oh, I got to get back to church on Sunday. We just kind of drag ourselves back into the house of God and then we get a bit of a bounce back and then boing, 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 boing. But you can build yourself up. Oh, I'm feeling stressed. Oh, God. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. We begin to pray in tongues, and the Bible says, building up ourselves in the Holy Ghost. Oh, Jesus. Oh, God. Hallelujah, Lord. In our closet, you don't need to call a prayer partner. You don't need to have a whole month of prayer and fasting. Just get alone with God and experience the presence of God. Mothers, I know it's hard to escape those kids, but you've all got somewhere where you can go where the kids can't get. That's not as high and holy as you expect. Get in that toilet, lock that door. Say, God, I'm stressed. Let your presence overflow me. Let your presence comfort me. Help me to find rest. And you walk out and the kids say, Mom, you were angry before. What happened? The presence of God was in that toilet. And dads, you got somewhere at work as well. Don't stay in there too long. The boss will come searching. But you get alone. But ye, beloved, building up yourself, building yourself up in the most holy faith, building up your faith, getting rid of the doubts by praying in the Holy Ghost. Amen. That plague we talked about, I wonder if stress really is the 21st century equivalent of the Black Death. But if it is, in 1665, the Black Death swept over London again. About 100,000 people were killed at the time. And it is at that time in 1665 that it became known as the Black Death. They called it that. But in 1666, does anyone know what else happened in London around that time? There was the Great Fire of London. It's much debated amongst historians. But there was a fire that came in right after that plague. 100,000 people died the year after. Historians will not tell you that it killed the whole thing, but it helped stop it. as the slums and some of those most disease-ridden areas of London were burnt to the ground in the Great Fire of London. Let me tell you, there's also a great fire. Ooh. In our stress epidemic, when we're full of stress, there is a great fire, Brother Aaron. Can come in and burn the disease up. Come in and burn the stress up. Come in and release us from all of the stress and anxiety and depression and feeling downtrodden. And I tell you, it's all in the Holy Ghost. It's all in Jesus Christ. It's all in His presence. There is rest for the stressed. And that same fire that came in and cleansed that city of London is the same fire that can come back into your life again. We got to get back. Let me tell you, when the Holy Ghost moves into your life, there is a burning away. There is a burning away. The things that caused you to lose hope, it burns it away. The things that cause stress, it burns it away. The fire of the Holy Spirit will burn it